CO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Matt Piper. The FBI says the Palm Springs Fertility Clinic bombing is the largest in Southern California's recent history. And CBS News has learned the bomb used was made of a powerful explosive chemical mixture. The blast encompassed a multi-block radius. CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti is there.
The suspect, 25-year-old Guy Edward Barkus, was killed in the explosion. A law enforcement official tells CBS News that investigators have found bomb-making materials inside the suspect's home in the community of 29 Palms. That's an hour's drive from the Palm Springs Clinic. They're also digging through his computers, phones, and online records.
A former U.S. ambassador to Ukraine says he does not believe a lengthy phone call between President Trump and Vladimir Putin will result in fruitful ceasefire negotiations with Ukraine.
Stephen Piper is now with the Center for International Security and Cooperation at Stanford University. He says Putin played Trump.
Putin is dangling this prospect, which is very unrealistic, of big economic gains for the United States once the war is over. And President Trump has taken it hook, line, and sinker.
Piper says if Trump truly wants leverage with Putin, he'll ask Congress for more money for military aid to Ukraine. Christopher Cruz, CBS News, Washington.
President Biden expressed gratitude for an outpouring of support following his shock cancer diagnosis yesterday. But President Trump is questioning the timing and whether anyone knew earlier.
I think it's very sad, actually. I'm surprised that it wasn't, you know, the public wasn't notified a long time ago.
Biden's prostate cancer is stage 4, his office says, and has spread to his bones. It's happened again. The FAA is investigating a brief radio system outage at the Philadelphia Air Traffic Control Center that's responsible for handling flights at Newark Liberty International Airport.
United 2289, if you do not hear us on approach control, go over to Newark Tower on 118.3. You're okay for now. Just stay on your present heading.
That from live ATC around 11:30 this morning, where the control center lost radio frequencies for about 2 seconds and warned pilots about what seemed to be happening. It is the fourth such incident to take place at Newark Airport since April 28th. Investigators in New York say that Mexican Navy ship that struck the Brooklyn Bridge departed less than 5 minutes before its masts crashed into the historic span. Our Chris Van Cleave is on the scene.
They don't know yet if there's any kind of voice or data recorder on board the ship. If there is, they will look to get that off the ship and download it as quickly as possible. They also plan to interview people that were on board the ship as well as the tugboat.
Two people died. Two others remain hospitalized. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It's the Brewers and the Orioles. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers host the Baltimore Orioles tonight at AmFam Field. After 7 years, Baltimore fired their manager, Brandon Hyde, over the weekend and replaced him with third base coach Tony Manzolino. Now, yesterday, the Brewers avoided a sweep. They beat the Twins 5-2. Pat Murphy conceding, the Brewers have not spent very much this year in free agency.
I trust the players. I like the players. I think they're good. Now, did we go spend a lot of money in the offseason, guys? Let's call a spade. No, we didn't. Are we real deep in the position player business? No, we're not. But we have good ones.
In golf, Scottie Scheffler shot 11 under par to win the PGA at Quail Hollow in Charlotte.
I've prepared my entire life, and to have a chance to win a tournament that I've dreamed about as a kid is a pretty cool feeling. And when you step up out on the first tee, you know, there's definitely stress. It's definitely challenging. But at the same time, I mean, it's a lot of fun.
That's Scottie Scheffler. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Scarlett Johansson says after her breakout role in 2003's Lost in Translation, she enjoyed success, but it came with the baggage of being offered acting roles that objectified her. The actress told Vanity Fair that she felt she was being exploited and had to have a talk with her representatives about what kind of roles she wanted. She also said her co-star in the film, Bill Murray, was in a strange place during the filming, saying that he was dealing with stuff. Love when people allude to things but don't give you the full tea. She did say she thinks Murray is in a much better place now as life has humbled him. If you haven't seen Sofia Coppola's Lost in Translation, it's a great movie and Johansson is excellent. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A wet pattern ahead, increasing clouds tonight, showers possible late, and a low in the low 40s. Scattered showers for tomorrow, high only near 50 and staying windy. Still a few lingering showers Wednesday, a high in the low 50s. Right now it's 53.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as Kira Sabin, our positivity psychologist coach, will be here in her second of a three-part series on building community. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He didn't cut a game.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade, which means distant thunder. Hey, Cudgy Wee, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Digga. This portion of the show is supported by Native Roots Trading Post. You can shop now at causecart.shop and search Native Roots to find your resist gear. Pina Gigi for your support.
Right on. Check it out, you guys. It's a beautiful site. And again, check out our swag there. Hey, Haley and Wendy's joining us early, too. I begged her to come on. Welcome, Wendy.
Yeah. Hey, everybody.
Hey. So it's Monday here, and we're talking a little bit. Wendy and I didn't do anything. Well, I did some yard work Sunday, but being old, I got tired quick. And Saturday, I didn't do anything because it was so gloomy and cold.
It was gloomy and cold. She's like, I can't even talk, and I'm on the radio. Jeez. But we watched a lot of baseball, so that's good.
Yeah.
You know, we watched New York Mets and Yankees.
Yes.
And we watched the Twins win too.
Right. You know, It's funny, you two, Haley and Wendy, you both before you got on the air could really speak well, but I feel like I'm rubbing off on you both.
It's Monday. Yeah, that's always my excuse. Like every week.
I'm blaming it on Monday too. Thank you, Haley.
So Haley, what did you do? Because Wendy and I did nothing.
You know, I kind of got caught in that gloomy weather as well, but I kind of like, you know, feel guilty when I don't do anything on a weekend and I'm like not productive, but then I'm like, oh, well, I'm not going to do anything because I'm being lazy with the weather. But then I'm like, oh, well, you know, I'm taking care of myself and maybe it's good to take the rest. You know, the planet takes rest, the animals rest, you know, during a storm. So why wouldn't we as people?
Yeah. Hey, good point, because we're all about no, it's hard for me to say this, no mo Monday, Wendy. And
no mo May.
No mo Monday.
Yeah. I just want to say that butterflies rest in the rain. Butterflies rest in the rain, so butterflies, they'll find shelter and just rest and rejuvenate when the sun comes out. Then they fly.
I was singing a little Elton John for
wings.
You. Butterflies, freedom, fly away, fly away, bye bye. So we all didn't do anything, but we are really checking out No Mo.
May.
May,
yeah.
Yeah, it helps our pollinators.
Yeah. Hey, so Haley, I'm going to snatch this from you. I'm going to do the Ho-Chunk word of the day, and it's a couple words, but it means Macho Horus, which means the place of blue clay. And that's St. Paul, Minneapolis, what Ho-Chunk calls St. Paul, Minneapolis. So that's Macho Horus.
The good old Twin Cities.
Yeah, exactly.
And they had the blue clay. Is that, I feel like that's more along our rivers probably.
Where yeah, you find that? I think so. I don't think lakes have clay, but definitely the rivers. And it's hard to say now because the rivers have so much iron in it. It's almost red clay. Right, mm-hmm. Wendy.
Yeah,
Wendy's definitely shaking her head. Yes.
Well, cool. What else did I do this weekend besides not cutting my grass?
That's good.
Yeah. Well, I watched one of my best friends. She graduated. I watched her graduate, her live stream or whatever, and that was so cool. And then it just reminded me of all the other graduates that are graduating this season, and especially our Native graduates. It's such a big deal, and I just want to say a big congratulations and. Enjoy this time and take it all in because you deserve it.
Yeah, whenever I see somebody graduating or getting any kind of thing Native wise, I always put on their website, this is a big deal, congratulations, which it mm-hmm. is. Mm-hmm. And I experienced that too, Wendy, with your support mm-hmm. years ago.
Absolutely, Robert. You always have my support.
Yeah.
That's great.
She said that with a straight face, Haley.
I believe it. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's just important as like graduates, as Native graduates. Well, mm-hmm. I'm just like reflecting on my time in college, but like I was a first generation college grad. Like my parents, neither of them had the opportunity to go to college. And, you know, I feel like it's a lot of Native families or Native students can relate to that. So it's just kind of like, you know, changing the narrative and breaking a generational curse or whatever they call it, and you know mm-hmm. making yeah. way to your family
and look where Haley is now as a graduate. Mm-hmm. She's running Native Roots Radio.
That's right. Very important producer for
just
sure.
Yapping on the radio. No.
Yapping on the radio. No, that's me. I'm the king of ums.
That's okay. You're in deep thought, you know.
Yeah,
really thinking.
Exactly. Well, there's this is still the end of Native American Heritage Month here in Minnesota, and that goes until the end of May. There's things mm-hmm. coming up here, and I know at the end of the month they rescheduled the parade.
Oh yeah, they did. That's for on May 30th. It's going to be on Friday. The parade I think is still going to be in the morning. I'm looking for the times right now.
Yeah, and then they're going to have the powwow again too.
Yeah, so the powwow is going to be joined with the Minneapolis American Indian Center's open house, and that's going to be from 6 to 9 p.m. on May 30th. And the American Indian Center is at 1530 Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. Wow, 50 years of community and culture. Is this 50 years of doing the open house or 50 years of American Indian Month?
I don't think it's 50 years of American Indian Month unless, well, 1960. Well, yeah, it could be because 1968 was the beginning of the Amesters American Indian Movement, and they and Clyde Belcourt and those guys really pushed to have Native American Day and really expanded to the whole month in that process. But yeah, it definitely could be. Somebody like Robert Lilligren would know, but I don't know. My calendar is all off. When I think of 50 years, I think it's like the 1920s, but really it's 1968. Right?
Oh my gosh.
Right?
What happens when you get old?
I know.
Yes. Okay. Well, I get, yeah. So it is at the, okay. It is 50 years of the, I'm reading the caption here on their post. Wow. That's awesome.
That's crazy. So I was 14 when that all went down. That's crazy. So that's 1975.
Okay. Right? Yeah. Well, doesn't Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center has their open house this week too. I'm looking that up right now.
And they're celebrating 40, which makes sense too.
40 years, I guess so.
Yeah.
That does make sense.
Well, all these leaders that really stepped it up and really got services for Native Americans and places to go for Native Americans, us urban ones here in the Twin Cities. We owe a debt of gratitude to, and there's so many good things happening when it comes to, you know, we talk with Native American Community Clinic, you know, mm-hmm. Dr. Stately, talk about the urban, Native urban corridor on Franklin Avenue, which, you know, there's all these different tribal offices there. It's a thing of resistance, and also, you know, it's, I'm happy to be a part of that, but we also got to, you know, give some credit where credit's due when it comes to the OGs that really, really set it up for us.
Yeah, those generations before us, and then our generation will set it up for those to come.
Yeah, the next seven generations, that's how we count it. Four back, three forward, that's seven generations. And that's why I always say we're the seventh generation. But I used to kid with our students and say, oh, you're not the seventh generation, you're the eighth generation. They go, really? And I go, no, that's not how it is. But hey, it's Monday. We're trying to figure things out. Excited to have Wendy here. You're going to have a whole segment here coming up. And I think we'll howl early.
Yeah, let's howl.
Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Stay with us.
Stay with us.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program, or TAP, is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP, along with a copy of your ID. We'll mail you a to-go card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. 612-373-3333.
Support for Native Roots Radio comes from the Walker Arts Center, an art space that's more than the Spoon and Cherry. Galleries celebrate contemporary visual art, including indigenous artists like Edgar Heap of Birds, Cheyenne and Arapaho Nation, and Jim Demony, Ojibwe. Additionally, films screen in the cinema, and performances are shown on stage. Free every Thursday night and free every day for members and citizens of tribal nations. Learn more at walkerart.org. Again, that's walkerart.org.
The Council on LGBTQIA2S+ Minnesotans is conducting a community need survey. Two-Spirit and Native queer voices are sacred and must be heard. Your experiences will guide programs and policies that support our relatives across Minnesota. The survey is confidential and available at mnqt.info/survey. The deadline is May 31st. Honor your story. Help build the future we deserve.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
In this portion of the show, we like to bring awareness to our Minnesota wolf population. Say no to the hunts. How?
No! Did you see that, Wendy? I went, no!
Yeah, I love that. Okay. Right, no to the hunt.
Right on.
Yeah.
Hey, really, we're going to move forward here, our sacred animal portion of the show. Later on, we have Jada, who's a Ho-Chunk MMA fighter, Haley. That's going to be on next.
Yeah, super excited to talk to Jada. Jada Harshman is out of Wisconsin, and she's represented on Team USA, and MMA fighting is now in the Olympics, too. So I'm excited to talk to her about it.
Exactly. And so I want a good old school on you, Wendy, and I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy Pilot. Wendy Pilot's been an animal advocate for many, many, many years, and she is a co-founder of Native Roots Radio. And I speak of our relatives with hooves and little ears and tails and what else? They have a lot of puns.
I think you said it all. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani. That means cares for them. And I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I am a policy volunteer for Humane World for Animals, which is formerly known as the Humane Society of the United States. Yeah. So we work on animal issues at the state and local level. So
wow,
it's really
said that
exciting.
Really smooth.
So I've been following this website. It's called selftrue.journey. Selftrue.journey. And there's this guy. I don't know if it's an AI voice or not, or if it's a real person who talks. So I'm going to play their video. But what he does is he talks about dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I really love this. And on this one, he's going to talk about what they never tell you about rescue dogs and his experience about rescuing a dog. So I'm going to play it right now, and hopefully you'll be able to hear it, and I won't have any technical difficulties. So here
she warned me she'd come with baggage. What they didn't tell me was that she'd unpack it slowly, piece by piece, teaching me about resilience with every trembling step toward trust. The first time she wagged her tail took 2 weeks. The first time she played with a toy, a month. The day she finally fell asleep on her back, belly exposed to the world she once feared, I sat on the floor and wept because I understood what it meant. She flinches at sudden movements, yet still chooses to come closer. She was abandoned, yet somehow decided humans deserved another chance. She spent months in a concrete kennel, yet still remembers how to find joy in a fallen leaf dancing in the wind. There's a look rescue dogs get in their eyes, a moment of sudden clarity when they realize this home is forever. It usually happens on some random Tuesday, nothing special. For her, it was during a thunderstorm when she realized I wouldn't leave her alone to face what terrified her. Scientists have discovered that dogs released from shelters experience a profound neurological change within months of finding a stable home. Their stress hormones normalize. Their immune systems strengthen. Their brains literally rewire themselves to feel safe again. We think we rescue them, but in their silent resilience, they show us that hearts are not broken by pain. They're broken open. That forgiveness isn't something you think about. It's something you practice daily. That the past doesn't have to define the future. When people ask why I chose a dog with issues instead of a puppy, they miss the point entirely. I didn't want perfect. I wanted her, with all her scars, all her fears, all her hard-won wisdom about a world that wasn't always kind, but still somehow deserved her love anyway. They say rescued dogs love differently. It's not that they love more. It's that they love despite. Despite knowing exactly what humans are capable of. Despite having every reason not to. And in that choice lies everything I aspire to be. They want.
So that's it's a little video too. You can watch it. And it's beautifully illustrated. Again, it's selftrue.journey. He has a lot of these different videos, and they're all about dogs and, you know, about their rescue and all about all different kinds of things. But that one really like hit me when I watched it and I listened to it. It really got me like teary eyed because, you know, we have rescue dogs and we've experienced some of the things that he's talking about. I'm sure you have too, Haley, because your dog's a rescue also.
Yeah. Yeah. So I definitely related to that. And yeah. I was just like, I don't know. I'd probably cry at all those videos if I was watching them.
Yeah, but they're right, but they're really, but they're really, no, but they're really good. It's just like, you know, I don't know. I think that people who watch this are more inclined of saying, okay, let me get, you know, a dog that has a little bit of problems and maybe just have some patience, you know. You know, they always say that when you bring a dog into the home, they don't know anything. It's brand new to them, right? So it takes them weeks and weeks to really get comfortable and to really feel good. I know when we got Wanda and Gracie and Emma, we got three dogs at the same time.
Yeah.
They didn't know that we were their people, you know, so we would let them out in the backyard to go potty and they'd go hide under a bush. You know, they wouldn't come when we called them because they were like, who are these strangers? You know, they didn't know. And it took them quite a while to realize like, OK, it's safe here. I'm going to be OK. I'm going to be fed. We're going to go on a walk. I can have a nice soft bed with toys and, you know, and then finally, I don't remember the days that it happened, but when I called them, they came to me, you know, right, Robert, they came to us when we called them, you know, so it's just, you know, yes, you could get puppies, you know, you could get a puppy and you could, you know, train it from the beginning, but not all puppies turn out the way you want them either, you know, but I just love this guy. And you know what? It's so funny because I wasn't going to play the video, the audio of this. And I sat there and I wrote it out and I was going to read what he said. And I was just like, I can't do that. My voice isn't, you know, so calming and nice. And
I would have started crying.
I know. But it's
so true.
There's a couple of them and I will play them every, you know, every now and then, because I think it's important. Yes,
Haley. It is important. It is very important. I would just encourage people to adopt if they have the opportunity to. It's so different. Like, I've had puppies. I've gotten a puppy, you know, growing up, not from a shelter. And then the dog that I've had for the past almost 10 years, we've got from the shelter. And just the way that she is towards us is so different being a shelter dog. And like, I remember even when we got her, we changed her name. She was still, I think, like over a year old, barely, when we got her. So we did change her name and it took her a while to like, like answer to it. But she loves it.
Do you remember which name she?
She, it was like Lulu or something, but it really didn't fit her. Like, we all thought Sadie fit her better.
And her name is Sadie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And I remember when we brought her home, and for the longest time, she wouldn't jump on any furniture. She wouldn't come up on the beds or the couch. Like, and we'd be like, you know, Sadie, come on, you know, try to get her to come up. And for the longest time, she just wouldn't. So I think the previous owners didn't allow her on top of furniture like that. But she did come around to coming on the furniture, and she's very spoiled now. So,
well, we adopted cats too, that were shelter cats. And I remember rolling up a paper and the cat just running.
Oh, you had the newspaper, right? So you rolled up the newspaper and she saw you do that and she ran. And
so
Robert and I were like, oh my God, she must have gotten hit with a newspaper in the past, something, because she really like ran for the hills when you picked up the newspaper and rolled it up. So, you know, you never know what they went through before, but, you know, they do learn.
Couldn't come on the bed.
Yeah.
We have ramps going up to our bed.
We have a ramp going up to our couch. I don't know. You know, a lot of people are like that. They don't want their dogs on the furniture or the bed. I just feel like you're sharing your existence with this little being who is your family member, becomes your family member. I don't know. I want them to be on the couch with me, right?
As big as a person.
My dog is huge, but she's still welcome. I get it too. People are like, oh, my dog's an outdoor dog, or they're a hunting dog, or they go in the lake. Well, bathe your dog. Like, you should be cleaning your dog if they're outdoors. You know, they don't want to get ticks and whatnot. But also, you know, dog should be indoors, not only outdoor dogs.
Our dog loves, and so did our other dogs, love the shelter dogs, love going for a walk, Wendy.
Yeah, they all love to go on walks. And Wanda usually found, she did today on her long, we went for a really long walk today, found a couple of things that she sniffs in the grass, and she rolls around in the grass, and I have no idea what it is. It could be like rabbit urine, or I don't know. It's probably something stinky and nasty that she's rolling around. But I read an article once about how it's important for your dog to do that and sniff and
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
CBS News Brief. The FBI has linked the weekend California fertility clinic bombing to a suspect who they say had the belief that it was morally wrong to have children. The attack killed the bomber and injured four other people. CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti from the scene in Palm Springs.
The FBI, we have learned, is investigating several theories. The main theory that this was a suicide bombing meant to be live streamed.
CBS's Olivia Rinaldi on a call President Trump had with Vladimir Putin says Trump stressed the strong-minded individuals as being a factor in the push and pull over talks of a Russian-Ukraine ceasefire.
He said of the negotiations, there are a lot of big egos involved, which is making it difficult to get to a resolution in this war.
Some are questioning how a former president was able to get to a stage four cancer diagnosis. Dr. Dana Rathkoff with Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center.
There are many people that have the, you know, access to highest levels of care and undergo regular screening and still get diagnosed with advanced disease.
CBS News Brief. I'm Matt Piper.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It's the Brewers and the Orioles. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers host the Baltimore Orioles tonight at AmFam Field. After 7 years, Baltimore fired their manager, Brandon Hyde, over the weekend and replaced him with third base coach Tony Manzolino. Now, yesterday, the Brewers avoided a sweep. They beat the Twins 5-2. Pat Murphy conceding, the Brewers have not spent very much this year in free agency.
I trust the players. I like the players. I think they're good. Now, did we go spend a lot of money in the offseason, guys? Let's call a spade. No, we didn't. Are we real deep in the position player business? No, we're not. But we have good ones.
In golf, Scottie Scheffler shot 11 under par to win the PGA at Quail Hollow in Charlotte.
I've prepared my entire life, and to have a chance to win a tournament that I've dreamed about as a kid is a pretty cool feeling. And when you step up out on the first tee, you know, there's definitely stress. It's definitely challenging. But at the same time, I mean, it's a lot of fun.
That's Scottie Scheffler. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Mission Impossible opens in just 3 days and already has pulled in $12 million prior to its domestic release. Tom Cruise is on a press tour receiving standing ovations, and the latest is in New York, where Cruise addressed the crowd at the premiere. Cruise said it was director Christopher McQuarrie's idea 7 years ago to shoot Dead Reckoning Part 1 and the current Final Reckoning at the same time. He told the crowd it was an honor and a privilege to be part of the franchise. The film had its worldwide premiere at Cannes last week and also received a 5-minute standing ovation. It opens this Friday, May 23rd. More news out of the Cannes Film Festival, where fans of Wes Anderson will be thrilled to learn that he received almost an 8-minute standing ovation after the premiere of his film, The Phoenician Scheme. The film has an impressive ensemble cast, which includes Wisconsinite Willem Dafoe and Benicio del Toro in the lead. It's reviewing well and opens June 6th in the U.S. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A wet pattern ahead, increasing clouds tonight, showers possible late, and a low in the low 40s. Scattered showers for tomorrow, high only near 50 and staying windy. Still a few lingering showers Wednesday, a high in the low 50s. Currently 51 degrees.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Hello, Bluey.
Talking with our pal Stuart J. Waddles. This is an episode of Bluey that Stuart turned me on to. I like this show so much. Would it be weird if I left my wife, remarried, and had kids with someone else just so I could watch Bluey with my new set of kids?
I don't think it'd be that weird. I've heard a weirder.
You have?
Make a great story.
You get the exclusive.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
Coming up on Tuesday, Pat Kreitlow makes his victorious return to the big chair. We'll hear all about his vacation and cover the big stories from across the nation. Join us.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, yes, they do. Hey, Haley, really, really excited. You know, we have another All Ho-Chunk segment here, and this is awesome. So we have our friend, our new friend, Jada Harshman, who's an MMA fighter out of Wisconsin and who is also Ho-Chunk. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be able to speak and tell my story today.
We're excited, too. And really, thanks so much for coming on. And, you know, if you want, you can introduce yourself in a good way. Ho-wah.
Yeah, my Ho-Chunk name is Hinchkaninga, means white fur. I'm daughter of Kessa Greendeer and Matthew Harshman. I'm just really excited to be able to talk about this today.
Excellent. Hey, so not get too personal, but we are going to get personal here. What is your age and how low did, when did you find out that you wanted to be an MMA fighter?
So I'm 20 years old. I started when I was 18 years old, right after high school. I wanted to be an MMA fighter. I found that out after winning Freestyle State and qualifying for national Fargo Nationals for wrestling. I went to this MMA gym to just get really good at wrestling and staying in good shape. And I found out there were some boxing classes and jiu-jitsu classes. So I kind of dove in, started doing some of those classes, and then started my MMA career a couple months in and did my first fight. So it was really cool.
That is cool. So we have our friend Sharice Davids, who was was she an MMA fighter? Do you know who I'm talking about?
She sounds really familiar.
She is a Ho-Chunk who's a representative out of Kansas. And I do believe she fought, she did MMA fighting too for a while before she became one of our up and coming politicians in the United States.
That's really awesome. Yeah, I know her name vividly, but I don't remember like exactly when she fought.
Cool. So do you have siblings that you would fight with when you were growing up and kick some butt? Or how does that work? Are you the oldest or the youngest or the middle?
I'm in the middle. So I have an older brother, a little brother, and then a little sister. And so growing up most of my life with brothers, we were roughing each other up. We'd wrestle each other, play football in the yard. Yeah, we get in fights a lot, but it was always friendly, and yeah, they made me tougher.
So just to back up a step here, so you wrestled in high school, is that what I hear?
Yes, yep, I wrestled since eighth grade. It's always been my base, and I just absolutely loved it. Didn't have really girls teams when I started up and coming, so I wrestled on the boys teams. I qualified for boys varsity, and I was the 127 spot. I was the first goal out of Holman to wrestle at Team State, so that was a really cool opportunity as well. So,
wow, that's awesome! Wow. So who are were you going to jump in there, Haley?
Oh, I just didn't. So you started your professional career like 2 years ago, very recently. Do you have to be 18?
No, for amateur fighting, yes. But there are pancration fighting as well, which is under 18. Pancration can also do MMA fighting. It's just no head strikes. It's another thing too. So we have ages 12 to 17 doing pancration fighting. And then there are the amateurs that you can stay amateur as long as you'd like. And then you can turn pro. So right now I'm an amateur. I'm a 7-0-1 amateur right now. Yeah. And then I actually have a boxing fight this Saturday, so I'll be fighting this Saturday and then prepare for Brazil right after that. So,
wow. So do you wear headgear when you box, or is it a knuckle to head?
So I will be wearing headgear for this one for USA Boxing. They require that for amateurs. Now, if I was pro, then I wouldn't have to wear headgear. So.
Cool. So who are your trainers and biggest supporters?
So my number one, my supporter and the person I always depend on is not only my coach, but my boyfriend, Nick Johnson. He's just always inspired me to be my best and push me to the limits. And he's in my corner for life. So it's been truly amazing to be able to grow together, not only in the sport, but at the gym. And so he's one of my number one, like, supporters and inspirations there.
Cool. Well, when I was young too, I was Twisted Steel and full of sex appeal. But now I'm old, so we won't even talk about that. Hey, how do you work up to through the ranks of MMA fighting?
So working through the ranks, you got to take on some tough competition. So each fight, you just kind of level up and try to push yourself. So in amateur fighting, you want to get as much experience as possible. So that's why I'm also doing a boxing fight, so I can get that experience and understand that level of striking, as well as when I do these MMA fights, like starting out maybe 3-4-0 and then asking for a title shot, taking that title shot. So that's what I did. I was 3-0. I took a title shot when I was 4-0, became 5-0. And then I also had a title defense this last April and won that as well.
So. Heck yeah. That's awesome. So how do you prepare? You talked a little bit how you prepare for a fight, but what is it? You know, I'm an old man and I was like 15 when the first Rocky came out. And, you know, I saw how he was training. How do you train?
So a typical training day for me would start at 5 a.m. I get my workout in. Right before work, I work a 9-hour day. And then after that, I would go do my classes. So my classes for technique would be an hour or two long, and then do my one-on-ones with my coaches as well. So it kind of depends on what part of the fight camp it would be. So if it's like earlier in the fight camp, each fight camp is about like 8 weeks long, where we start training, getting in shape, and getting our cardio up. And then if we're a little bit closer, like 6 to 4 weeks out, then we start honing in, okay, this is how our opponent fights. This is what we need to focus on. So if they're a wrestler, we need to focus on wrestling defense and staying on our feet. They're more of a striker, okay, we're going to focus on setting up our takedown. So just depends on who you're fighting as well.
Who are some of your, I know you mentioned your boyfriend, but who else is some of your idols that you look up to that have MMA experience?
So Shay Bauer, she fights out of Sioux Falls. She's one of the people that I like to ask questions about fighting, and she's the LFA champ at 125. So she's just somebody that I can talk to about preparing for fights or training with her. Somebody else that I could like to talk to is Zoe Nowicki. She's also my teammate for Team USA for Gammas. She fights out of Michigan. She's another 125er. But they've been in the game for a little bit longer. They're both professional fighters and people that I like to talk to and look up to as well.
Well, you introduced yourself by your name, and we all walk around in our colonized name, but you have a beautiful name. Do you want to tell us a little bit about how that came about?
So I got named pretty recently when I turned 18. We had our naming ceremony, and it's Hinshkaninga. Pronounced that way, it means white fur. So the meaning behind it is so white fur, part of the deer clan. There was a recent sighting of albino deer that they had seen, the elders had seen, and they seen me, and they're like, this is her. So I thought it was pretty cool. It's, you don't get to see those very often, so that was awesome.
Yeah, they are sacred. And it was more than one that they had seen.
Yeah, they'd seen a little group. It was about five of them. So
very rare. I've only seen one of those in my life. So it's a beautiful name.
Thank you.
Yeah, it really is. And Haley, you have a beautiful name too.
I do. It is Chasha Panwangoe Nink, and it's Little Eagle Princess. And a little bit of story behind that. I was named by my Dega, Nathaniel McKee, and his wife, Verna, at the time. But I'm the only granddaughter, niece, and daughter in my family. So raised with all boys, brothers, boy cousins. And so I was the only girl. So everyone kind of catered to me like the Little Eagle Princess. And that's how I got that name.
That's awesome. I love that. Yeah. That's really cute.
And mine's Wakunja Hade, which means distant thunder. So yeah. that's a cool name. That would be a cool MMA fighting name. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Do you have any like walkout songs? Do they still do that? Do you guys get hyped for fights and stuff? Yeah.
Yeah, I like to mix it up. I did do Thunderstruck because my fight nickname is the Storm. So the story behind that is, so when a storm comes, cows shy away. They try to run away from the storm, and they just get caught in it. So when buffalo go into the storm, they go right through it. They attack it, just like life. There's storms, there's adversities. So when I'm fighting, I always think of I'm the storm. I bring the chaos, and you have to deal with me. So,
ooh. Yeah,
that's kind of the story behind that name. But
I got goosebumps, and it's storming right now as we're talking, which is
yeah, the storm.
Yeah, I got a little scared when you were. I didn't get goosebumps. I got a little frightened. But that's the whole idea behind it. It's that's a great story, and we all know that as natives, is that's how the bison and the buffalo, they go towards the storm for sure, and that's very sacred and very cool. Mm-hmm. So we got about a minute and a half here. So how many fights a year would you be? And that, I guess that would be including boxing and stuff. But how many do you do a year roughly?
So as an amateur, I've fought quite a bit. I guess I fight every September, April, and then I take some other fights in between. So I could be fighting potentially, I'd say like 4 or 5 times a year. That doesn't include gammas. Gammas, I had 2 fights, so that's 7 times. And then I'll be fighting again in June. So, and with June, I'm doing 2 different divisions. I'll do the under 21 division and the senior division, which means I could fight 2 times a day.
And what? That's
2 days. Yeah, it's intense. It's
awesome.
But yes,
it's awesome.
Amateurs fight a lot if they want to get the most experience. When you turn pro, you only fight maybe 2 times a year. So.
Oh, wow.
Jeez.
That's a big difference.
For
well,
sure.
you got a big upcoming fight coming up that we want to talk about, a national fight, and talk about your future here. And this is really, I'm so glad that you were able to get on our show, because this is really awesome. We're with Jada Harshman, MMA fighter out of La Crosse, Wisconsin. And you guys, we're listening to Native Roots Radio. We'll be right back after this short break, Haley.
Stay with us.
Yeah.
At Metro State University, students learn from expert instructors in high-demand degree programs like healthcare, technology, cybersecurity, teaching, and business. As one of Minnesota's most diverse universities, Metro State is dedicated to providing a welcoming environment for all students. Explore 60-plus bachelor's programs at their May 29th open house in St. Paul. Learn of tuition is possible for eligible students through the North Star Promise Scholarship. Visit metrostate.edu/openhouse. Know your power. Metro State University.
The Council on LGBTQIA2S+ Minnesotans is conducting a community need survey. Two-Spirit and Native queer voices are sacred and must be heard. Your experiences will guide programs and policies that support our relatives across Minnesota. The survey is confidential and available at mnqt.info/survey. The deadline is May 31st. Honor your story. Help build the future we deserve.
I'll never forget. I was driving my Sienna from Rudy Luther Toyota, and I was hit at 35 miles an hour, rear-ended square flush. If not for the structural integrity of my Sienna, I wouldn't be here right now. There's a lot I can say about Rudy Luther Toyota, about their fantastic service department and their great selection, but being able to say your car saved my life is the best endorsement I can make. Toyotas from Rudy Luther Toyota are my highest recommendation. Get one today and tell them me, Matt McNeil, told you to stop on in. Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
In this portion of the show, we like to bring awareness to our Minnesota wolf population. Say no to the hunts. How?
Oh! Hey, welcome back, everybody. We're with Jada Harshman, an MMA fighter out of Wisconsin and our Ho-Chunk relative here. And we are just opening up the pages here a little bit of what's going on here. We want to talk a little bit about what's coming up next for you. You're going to be going out of the country and doing some things. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so I'll be fighting at the Gamble World Tournament, or Championship, I should say. It'll be in Sao Paulo, Brazil. It'll be June 16th through the 22nd, so I'll have a whole week of competing, and I'm also competing in two divisions, so the under 21 and then the senior division as well. So professionals and amateurs from many countries. Last year there were 70-plus countries competing at this tournament for MMA, and so I'm just pretty excited to be able to compete at this world tournament again.
Wow, that's awesome. And we'll have to have you back on and share your experience with that. That's crazy. That's we're with a superstar here, Haley.
We really are. Team USA. Jada, you were talking, I guess we were talking behind the scenes here that MMA has been added to the Olympics now.
Yeah, it's super exciting. So in 2028, you'll see that the Olympics is adding MMA. They'll be having qualified tournaments to be able to send representatives from each country to compete at this next one. So that would be really cool. I probably won't be competing at this next one since I'll be turning professional. And when you're a pro, it's harder to get into those tournaments. And also, you're not getting paid to go and do it, and you're taking that risk anyway. So it's probably going to be mostly pancreation fighters, which are youth fighters, 12 through 17 years old, and then they'll have amateur fighters at that as well.
Oh, okay.
Wow,
yeah,
very cool.
Awesome.
Yeah. What is some of the most important things to do and know in a fight? And I know being an old street brawler, it's a lot different. You look for a chair or something to hit them with, but you are going like legs and arms and body.
Yeah, so it honestly depends on who you're fighting. So if they're a jiu-jitsu person, you better have a good base of, basic jiu-jitsu and understanding where you need to be at if you do get taken down. Otherwise, stay on the feet. If you're dealing with a striker, you might as well just take them to the ground where they're not comfortable. So honestly, it just kind of depends. You want to be pretty well-rounded. So that's why when you're amateur, you want to get the most experience as possible, fight everybody with, specific arts that they're specialized in, and then just see how well you do, see what you need to work on. So
we kind of know because we've been creeping on your stuff, but let people know how they can see past fights if they're on YouTube or your Facebook page, or let our listeners know how they can really watch and support you.
So this Saturday I'll be making my amateur boxing debut. You can find that on Spectation Sports. You can watch that live. Otherwise, they will be posting it on YouTube. A lot of my fights are posted on YouTube. I fight primarily on the Three River Throwdown. That's our local promotion that actually Nick runs. So you can find that on YouTube. Look up Three River Throwdown and Jada Harshman. And then Brazil, you'll be able to find the Gamma World Tournament on YouTube as well. My previous one that I fought in December, from Indonesia, you can find my previous fights on there as well. So,
wow, that's awesome. Haley, yeah. Do you have any questions? This is just a pretty awesome interview we got going on here.
I know. I was so excited to talk to Jada. I was watching one of her fights yesterday on YouTube, and actually a couple fights, and I noticed that she walks out with the Ho-Chunk flag, Ho-Chunk Nation flag behind her. And I guess a question for you, Jada, do you feel your ancestors behind you? Like, do you prepare spiritually before you go into these fights at all?
I do, yes. I do smudging right before, and I pray to the ancestors. Typically, I do that at home and then just pray for them, what they protect me when I was in Indonesia. Same thing, I will do the same thing before I go to Brazil as well. But when I carry that flag, I carry my people with me. And my ancestors with me. So I have that strength just knowing that they're with me. So,
yeah.
Wow. Great question, Haley.
Thank you, Pina Gigi. I wanted to ask Jada this too. Kind of a little bit change in subject here, but was there ever a fight where you were like down bad and you were like really hurt? What were you thinking? Like, where do you draw your motivation from to kind of regain your strength in that moment?
So actually, I remember vividly my second fight. I was knocked out on the feet. I saw white, couldn't see anything else. But I went back to my base where I know that I could feel. So I used my other senses. Like, it kind of slowed down for a second. So I'm like, okay, I can't see her, but I can feel her. So I went and wrestled. I ended up finishing that round, and I was fine right after that. But, you know, kind of like my reasons why that I fight is, you know, for not only for myself, you know, like my younger self that, you know, would absolutely freak out if she saw myself right now. But also, like, the kids that I coach, the people that I train, you know, they are the future, and, you know, they look up to me. They ask me for questions. They ask me for advice, my teammates, you know, my people. That's my reason why.
Oh, great answer.
Yeah, really. This is awe-inspiring. And, wow, Haley and Jada, this has just been an honor to have you on here. Again, so do you have a Facebook that people can see some stills and see who you are and things like that?
Yep. My Facebook is Hinchkaninga Jada Harshman. You can also follow me on Instagram too. It's the_Storm_Harshman. And then I do have TikTok too. I don't post very much on TikTok, but definitely will be posting a little bit more reels and stuff too. But that's Ironworks Jada. So yeah.
Well, it's interesting that you said what you said. What is something that you could tell the younger you about your journey and other people? That's real interesting that you brought that up, that, you know, we always compliment our native relatives that are doing things that, as a former teacher, it's great for our young kids to see somebody that looks like them do these things.
What I would tell myself is, like, always believe in yourself, trust yourself, like, trust your instincts, you know, do the best that you can, always try and learn new things, experience as much as you can, and just be a good person, you know. You always want to be treating other people the way you want to be treated, and be respectful, and yeah.
Wow, that's great. Haley, we only got like a minute and a half here. This has just been a great interview, and just awesome, Jada, that we're able to spend this time with you.
Yeah.
The opportunity to be able to speak too.
Do you have any fights coming up, like, locally? Do you ever fight in Wisconsin and around? Do you ever make it to Minnesota?
Yeah, okay. I actually fought in Shakopee last June on my birthday. That was super fun. I fought at Ignite Fights. I believe that was my fourth fight, I believe. And then, yeah, I usually fight on a 3-River Throwdown. That one takes place at the Onalaska Omni Center. Is April and September when we have shows. So when I make my pro debut, it'll be September 13th.
Awesome. So when is your birthday?
June 29th.
Oh, you're not a Gemini. You just missed it.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Oh, easy there, Haley. I'm a Gemini. My birthday's coming up, so we've been talking about it for the last month here on Native Roots Radio.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Well, Jada, do you ever make it to the Ho-Chunk powwows, Memorial or Labor Day?
I do try to, yes. I have a couple relatives that do competition dancing, and being able to be there with my family too. Yeah.
Awesome. We hope to run into you sometime soon in person here.
Yeah. Big Pina Gigi, thank you so much for being on. This is Jada Harshman, MMA fighter out of Wisconsin, and a Ho-Chunk. Ho-wa. Thank you, Big Pina Gigi, for being on.
Thank you, Pina Gigi.
Right on. Hey, we'll be right. Well, no, we won't be right back. If you're listening to the show, you're part of the resistance. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the big high school sports show.
Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on this show, we will review all things Wisconsin with Pat Kreitlow and then Missy Hughes. The Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation going to talk about Wisconsin business and tariffs.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats. Learn more about how you, too, can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump held a two-hour call with Vladimir Putin of Russia ahead of a conversation with Volodymyr Zelensky of Ukraine. Trump says Zelensky was also on the phone for the call with NATO leaders.
We also spoke to the heads of most of the European nations, and we're trying to get that whole thing wrapped up. What a shame that it ever started in the first place.
Investigators remain on the scene in Palm Springs, California, after what authorities believe to be a car bomb was set off outside an IVF clinic. Our Jonathan Vigliotti is there and has more on the dead bomber.
A law enforcement official tells CBS News that investigators have found bomb-making materials inside the suspect's home in the community of 29 Palms.
The first trucks with aid entered Gaza following nearly 3 months of Israel's complete blockade. Eden Bartal is with the Israeli Foreign Ministry's Director General's office.
The purpose of the aid is to help the population, not to support Hamas.
CBS News Brief. I'm Matt Piper.